It's always amazing how some dates really do stick in your mind. For me, the 16th of January 2005 will be long remembered. 5 days earlier, myself and my family left the Isle of Man on a very choppy Irish sea. They just experienced one of the worst storms in their history. And I knew that down below was all our belongings, all our family's possessions, and we were sat there wondering what on earth we were coming to. We were going to Crowborough in East Sussex. And on the 16th of January 2005, I stood before Andrew Corns and Bishop Wallace Benn, and they began to tell me about some of the people who had served St. Richard's over 47 years. And a half years. And it was daunting. I'd just done 5 years of holding services in a small pub on the edge of Douglas on a rock in the middle of the Irish Sea. And then I came to All Saints and saw the size of this place and all that was needed to be done at St. Richard's. And I thought, I can't do that. Give it 2-3 years. But at the 50th anniversary, again, I was told about the commitment of those who had gone before. Bill Holcomb, Jean Gabrand, I spoke to her just a couple of weeks ago. So encouraging words. Paul Bishop, David Barnes. I've been speaking lately to Jim and Annette Wheeler. I've been thinking about people like Jim Erry, who was there virtually on day one. And now we're reaching 60 years. And these lovely brochures have been made to commemorate that and to tell everyone, you're more than welcome to come and share in that. Not to bring glory to St. Richard's or any individuals, but glory to God. The words are celebrating 60 years of serving the Lord. Reminding me is, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Please do look at all the special services, starting on the June the 29th, going through to July the 2nd. Be a great time to thank God for his goodness and faithfulness. And in between 50 years and 60 years, we've lost many more faithful servants. It's been my privilege to take the funeral services of many people who've gone to glory, who've served in so many very different, special ways. But it reminds us that commitments really are quickly becoming outdated, as people seem to be more and more reluctant to make commitments without having loopholes built into them. We live, don't we, in a world where long-term commitments are no longer wanted or desired. It's true of life, it's true of work. Sadly, it's true of marriage. It can be true of parenthood. And it's certainly true of the church. Today, we fear commitments. And sometimes, hopefully not everybody here at 9:15 on a Sunday morning, we live by the creed, I want to keep my options open. People today just don't want to make commitments. And because of it, they're missing out on building a great life for themselves and for their family. When we make a commitment, we're choosing how we're going to invest our lives, our time, our resources. And when we refuse to make life's most important commitments, that is faith in Jesus Christ, we're missing out on a life that will count for all eternity. The sad reality is that a lot of those who go to church today won't be seen in the next 2 to 5 years in the church. Statistics have shown that. Some will leave the church family. Some will move to another church. But the majority won't be found in any church. How sad is that? And one of the main reasons is that they didn't or wouldn't fully commit to God. If we're ever going to see a spiritual revival, then a commitment, a real commitment, needs to be made by Christians, much like the commitment made by Joshua. Let's remind ourselves of his words. "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What's so fascinating about what Joshua said is that he was at the end of his life and was reaffirming the same commitments to the Lord that he had made early on. As a young man, Joshua was committed to God, as he would stay at the tabernacle day and night. Even at the prospect of being put to death, Joshua stood firm on God's promise, even when the whole of Israel threatened him. And because of his commitment to God, God honored him, making him Israel's leader after Moses' death, which saw him leading Israel into the promised land. And now, after they were securely settled, Joshua asked them to make a commitment to God, and then before them all, he states his commitment, saying, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That wasn't some hidden decision where if things didn't work out, he could silently slip away with nobody knowing where he'd gone, knowing the difference. He said it loud. He said it in a proud way. It was open for all to see and hear. Yes, his work was done, as we've just sung. But he'd fixed his eyes on the Lord. He'd worked for him. He'd shown full commitment. How about us? Can we say that along with Joshua? As Christians, when we come into that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're making that same commitment. We're saying yes to Jesus, that we will follow him, that we will keep his word, and that we will serve him with the whole of our lives. Not just for an hour on a Sunday, from Monday to Saturday as well. In reviewing Joshua's commitment, what we see is that it involves two aspects. It begins with a personal commitment, "But as for me," and then a commitment to others, "and my house." And so it entails our will. Are we willing to commit to God? Let's take a look at what Jesus said, remembering that he said this, knowing that he too was coming to the end of his earthly life and mission. Jesus said, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus understood the cost of commitment. He understood the cost of his life. He gave his all. But still he kept true to his path, accepting his Father's will and dying on that cruel cross. Yet in his prayer, he desired differently, but gave up what he wanted and did what the Father wanted for him. Our will is the process by which we make decisions. What Jesus did was to give over that decision-making process from what he wanted and place his life squarely into the Father's hands. He exchanged his wants and desires for that of the Father's day. Can we do that on this Father's day? Can we give everything over to him? As believers in Jesus Christ and therefore his followers, we need to understand the cost of this commitment as well. Jesus actually mentioned what that cost would be, so there would be no confusion when it comes to our commitment. He said these words, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, daily, and follow me." Another date I can remember is way back in the early 70s. I know you're trying to work it out now. When I was a 16-year-old, I heard those words and really heard them for the first time on a field overlooking Keswick during the convention. A wonderful time with loads of great teaching and hymn singing, songs, those that were around in the early 70s, but really thinking for myself, I want to serve the Lord. I made a commitment that day, the end of July 1972. And I went home, felt differently, and I thought, I must tell my stepdad. My stepdad was a retired Assemblies of God pastor. He knew his Bible. I didn't know how he would react, what he'd see in me. I told him, and he smiled and just said, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. That was it. So I quickly found a Bible, and I read these words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I've treasured those two verses since then, right to now. So my time in Blackpool, in Sheffield, in Warwickshire, on the Isle of Man, and my 12 and a half years in Crowborough too. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In the Hebrew language, this means to cling to lean upon. What we're being told is that we need to cling to and lean upon the Lord with the whole of our being, every part of our life. And that can be painful, but we're urged to do it. To trust in the Lord is to place our hope in him and to lean, as it were, on Jesus and not our own understanding. It is hard. It's difficult. We want to make our own decisions, don't we? We want to have our say, don't we? We want to do what we want and think that that's right. But God may have another agenda. We're also told to acknowledge God in all our ways. To acknowledge in the Hebrew language means to get to know God in an intimate way. So Joshua here in this passage talks of a personal commitment, but Joshua also talks about commitments to relationships when he talks about his household. Today can be a lonely day for some. It can be a great day of rejoicing with our own families, with the occasional thought of those who are no longer with us, maybe. On this Father's Day, we may reflect on our family relationships. All I can say is praise the Lord if they are all perfect. But praise the Lord too, even when they're not. What about if we're racked with guilt from past experiences? What about if we know we've been selfish and we can't get over it? What about if we've shown complacency and we can't bring ourselves to say sorry? Think about our own family relationships. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knew what it was to commit himself personally and bring his relationships to his Heavenly Father. As we think about relationships today, let's recommit to family. Let's say sorry for past failings. Let's vow, let's promise to do better. But what about us as a church family? Let's be totally committed to our Heavenly Father, to be devoted to Him, to be devoted to His Word, to His way and His will. I hope you agree with me when we say we can't be part-time fathers or mothers or grandparents. We're usually in it for the long haul, aren't we? The truth can be said of us as Christians. We can't be a part-time Christian. We can't be a casual Christian. On Father's Day, this Father's Day, let's take the courage like Joshua did and commit himself to his Heavenly Father. And may we say those words with him, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." For his dear name's sake, amen.